21 minutes until the top of the hour. Bill Arnold here. You know, I said I would be giving you a lively conversation, and I meant it. One of our listeners named Jessica wrote in about a question she had, and she said, people say they believe in God and that Jesus is the Son of God, but they don't walk in a daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Are they saved? And so we posed this question to Dr. Mark Muska from the University of Northwestern, and he said, here's a question that doesn't get talked about very often, but it's very important. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks. So what's your initial reaction?
One of those questions you don't really want to answer with just a yes or no, because it would be overly simplified.
Okay.
Sometimes there's issues in the Bible where you have to bring in several factors and talk about them together and not just try to isolate. I know we'd love to have just a yes or a no mm-hmm. answer, but the scriptures don't give us that luxury in many ways. And this is a really an important one, and I'm kind of glad
Good, let's
that it
dig
doesn't.
In.
So, yeah, it really gets into this thing. I mean, I can approach it several different ways. What does it mean that somebody believes that Jesus is the Son of God and they believe in God? James tells us in James 1, the demons believe that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does it mean that you believe it? I'm hoping that Rebecca, is it that you said that she... Jessica means by that this is someone who's heard the gospel, that Jesus died to be a sacrifice to forgive sins so we wouldn't have to die for our sins. He is our substitute, and that sacrifice mm-hmm. pays for our sin. And so when we say, sometimes Christians use the jargon, when we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, that means we are absolutely depending on Jesus, that death that he died gives us life
mm-hmm.
and takes away our sin. And so I'd like to focus it on that
to say,
someone has put their faith in Jesus. We call this the altar call, or somebody coming forward, or at mm-hmm. camp, they throw the twig in the fire, you know, to show that they are really expressing their trust, that they cannot save themselves. Jesus must save them. Now, does that person have to walk with God daily in order to have any kind of assurance of heaven? And my answer to that is yes and no.
That okay.
There's so much more to this idea of walking with God than just, you know, living some kind of sin-free life and walking through the lilies as the angels sing and the organ plays in the background until we triumphantly end up in heaven. Nice image, completely unrealistic. We are still prone to temptation and mm-hmm. sin. There is still a real conflict there. Otherwise, why would these New Testament writers have to write so much about doing the right thing? That's obvious that we don't. That just doesn't come to us. Otherwise, Paul would be able to say to us, well, you know, just go off and just do now what comes to you because you belong to Jesus.
And mm-hmm.
there's a battle to be fought, and that battle is against sin and temptation. And so we have our successes there, Bill, and we have our failures. And I'm putting first person plural here, me
yeah.
as well as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the greatest damages that Christianity does is to get into this phantom Christianity that somehow we're just living this just to the max and not sinning. And even temptation doesn't bother us anymore because we are just, you know, we are just walking with God.
Mm-hmm.
There is such a pervasive atmosphere of that in so many churches. And it's a lie because everybody in that church knows they don't fit that phantom profile,
right.
but they got to put the dog on for everybody else as if they are.
Right.
And they perpetuate that. So that's just dead wrong. We are going to have our times of struggle and sometimes deep struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it will go on for years when someone has a devastating tragedy in their family and they are angry with God. I have a family right now that they're dealing with their daughter with this, that
mm-hmm.
God didn't answer her prayer the way she wanted him to. And so she's far from Jesus right now.
Wow.
Does that mean that she's lost? Does that mean if she died today, she would be lost? I'm not in a position to judge that, Bill, but I think we have to accommodate here to say life has terrific struggles and bumps and bruises. Maybe that's the result of just getting older
mm-hmm.
and living enough life to realize this whole phantom Christianity out there is poison.
Yeah.
It's none of us can attain to us, and we all know it. But whether we'll admit it and live it out is another thing. But then you get into the other side of the teeter-totter, and some people will hear that then and start making excuses. and saying, well, I'm just not perfect and I never will be, and so I'm just going to keep on sinning and mm-hmm. Jesus will keep on forgiving me and all that kind of stuff. Person who talks like that, Bill, I seriously gently would question them whether they know Jesus at all and have any kind of gratitude for his sin payment by dying on the cross. That's just completely inconsistent with someone who really gets it, that the Savior came and died for them and provides them forgiveness of sin. They are now cleansed. They are right with God. And to have someone then make excuses and look for reasons to go on doing things that are hateful to God, that's just completely incongruent. Mm-hmm. It's like, Bill, if you would save my life, let's say that I'm stepping off a curb into traffic and don't realize it, and you come up and grab me mm-hmm. and save my life. Am I going to do things then with you and to you in the future that I know would be hateful to you? Am I going to insult your wife or your family? That's just completely irrational to think that something like that would be possible. Mm-hmm. So when we become followers of Christ and put our trust in that sin payment, there's a whole transformation of attitude that comes where our gratitude shows itself. We desire to please God with our lives. So if we can avoid those two extremes, that legalism performance thing, you're always on the treadmill, never good enough for God, or this making excuses and just keeping on whining and crying about things. There's a middle ground in there where we walk with God, we take seriously the idea of pleasing him with our lives, and when we screw up, we confess it, we admit it to God, and allow his cleansing to continue to cleanse us.
A note to Rebecca, we just got our highlight clip for tonight's show.
Way ahead of you.
Way ahead. Okay. We'll take a short break. But when we come back, if you have a call or a question for Dr. Mark Muska, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, or you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com, and I'll put your question, I'll pose it to Dr. Muska. We'll be back in just a minute. Good morning. 12 minutes until the top of the hour. I have Dr. Mark Muska in studio. We're talking about salvation and about believing in God and having a personal relationship or not makes all the difference. And we were dealing specifically with a question that came in from a listener named Jessica, and she actually has a follow-up question as she's listening to the program.
That is really cool. You know that? Thanks, Jessica, for listening and for emailing.
Her question is, what's next? How do I explain to my family that it's just not good enough to believe? I can back that with Scripture, but it's ultimately their choice. It just pains me to tears knowing I may not see them in heaven.
Yeah, my response to that, Jessica, thanks so much for writing in. I just really appreciate that when you come forward like that. First of all, I would call into question that it isn't enough to believe. I disagree. It is enough to believe. But what it means is that when someone truly grasps that message of their sin being forgiven, of having peace with God, it is transformative, Jessica. You will never be the same if you really get it. In fact, the Bible has a fancy term for that. It's called being born again or being regenerated. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit gives us a whole new life within us, and we are changed, and we can't help ourselves. If your family isn't at that point, your responsibility is to lovingly talk with them and urge them to, with all patience and kindness, urge them to really look at this about Jesus and his forgiveness and the peace with God that we have. But Jessica, you also have to back off, because it is God who does that work in their heart. If you think you're going to somehow say the magic words that are going to tip the scales and they're going to go in the right direction, you are setting the table for real frustration, because your words, my words, none of our words is going to do beans. It's going to be the Spirit of God working inside their hearts. And so we are responsible to speak up. Don't get me wrong. So bear witness to the truth of what we've been talking about, but then go to God and pray and seek out God to open their hearts. Because if he doesn't do that, you can talk till you're blue in the face and it's not going to do anything. It takes all the pressure off of us, Jessica, because we don't have to be so eloquent or so clever or mm-hmm. to use just the exact right words. I am amazed to hear the testimonies of some people who've come to faith in Christ and the absolutely stupid things that they heard from some preacher that just, you know, completely stumbles all over the place. And yet the glory of God hits them inside right. their hearts, and here, kabang, off they go, you know. I just one example of that, Gary Gaetti, a former third baseman for the Minnesota Twins, God used a book that just really is kind of out there about the last times and Jesus' return and all that. Mm-hmm. But Gary had wandered from God, and he read that book, and it was just like the lightning bolt hit him, and his life was completely changed around. And that's like 20, 25 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And he still is bearing witness to Christ as far as I know. So it's not us. It is God's Spirit that is going to work in the heart.
Mm-hmm. Mark, it says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your hearts that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Yes.
And then it also says in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll obey me.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems that you can believe in your heart, but it also... God wants, Jesus wants us to obey.
That's
and
right.
take action.
Well, and don't you want to do that for someone who has rescued you from not just hell and eternal torment? We like to get into fire and brimstone sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but has rescued you from a meaningless life, who's rescued you from the anxieties and the worries of life that'll absolutely swallow you if you don't have the hope of a companion who walks with you every day. Don't you want to do what pleases God? If you don't, I have serious question if you get it and you're still on your way. And that's fine. Plenty of people are on their way yet. So we're not going to condemn anybody for that. But it's just so obvious if someone sees this for what it is of what Jesus has done for us. You're going to run through brick walls to please him. You're going to do anything you can to please him.
Right. Don't we get pacified sometimes by people that kind of say more or less they have voted yes for God? But they don't really have, they've not been regenerated. They don't have a real
yeah.
relationship. But they will say, yeah, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I voted yes for God, but that doesn't mean anything.
I like using Facebook language to say, we're not interested in you clicking on a little button saying you like Jesus. You need to be a follower of Jesus. You follow Jesus. And what that means is that out of gratitude for his forgiveness, you're ready to do anything it takes to walk with him. No conditions. I love the way Paul hits this in Romans 12:1. Sometimes we overlook this, where he just gets done giving the gospel message for 11 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says in Romans 12:1, I urge you therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, present your bodies to God as living sacrifices. In view of what mercies? In view of the mercies he's given you for the forgiveness of sin and justification by faith.
Mm-hmm.
In response to that, we lay it all on the altar for him. And that means that we desire to please him with everything we do, and mm-hmm. we walk that path.
And sometimes it's just so hard to have that meaningful relationship with someone you're so close to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm completely sympathetic with
yep.
Jessica's situation. But
yeah, Jessica, you're probably in this for the long haul. There's a lot of us out there that have friends and relatives and people that are extremely dear to us. I just grieve over parents who have children in this kind of a place. But this is not a day or a week kind of a thing you're into here. It's probably years and maybe even decades. But yet you just never give up. As long as they're breathing and as long as you can relate to them, you just never give up.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we never really know a person's heart. I think
that's
it was
right.
Billy Graham that said, it's God's job to judge, the Holy Spirit's job to convict someone of sin, and it's our job to love.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I always thought that was kind of
yep.
a good
yep.
thing to keep in mind.
I like it.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I love when you come in. Thanks for getting on your bicycle and coming in. Maybe we can pray before we go for the
That'd
people that are in this situation.
Yeah. Lord, we just bring this to you now, and we admit it, God, that there's so many of us that are wrestling with this. We desire to please you with our lives, and yet we struggle so much with temptation and sin. So please help us. Empower us with your Holy Spirit to live in a way that pleases you, to display our gratitude. And for those of us, God, that have loved ones and relatives, please give us the opportunities, open the door of opportunity for us to talk to them about these heartfelt matters. I pray, God, that our talk with them isn't just frivolous and about stupid things, but that we get to these hard issues and we can really talk. Open those doors for these listeners and for me and for Bill and Rebecca, that you would allow us to be able to have those opportunities to speak from the heart about these things that mean so much to us. And we desire to see you work in the lives of these people that we care about. In Christ's name, we ask this.
Amen. And Mark, I'm going to ask you for a 15-second response. A listener named Matt said, please remember that a person has to acknowledge that they are a sinner before they can be saved.
Exactly right. And how can Jesus be a Savior? Savior from what? That saves
exactly.
You from your sin and especially the penalty of
yeah.
sin.
And he wanted to encourage Jessica that let her family know that.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Good word.
Great having you in studio. We'll take a short break and be back to wrap up the show.